Every Thursday night, you ask the questions, DT gives you his answers. No holds barred.
It's Q&A with Don Tony. This is your chance to speak your mind and be heard about anything.
Q&A with Don Tony. And now, your host, Don Tony.
That absolutely will be the last time we use that intro. I know we were poking fun that night, but wearing the unbuttoned college shirt all the way down to my belly button, cringe. Hey, what's going on, everybody? Q&A with yours truly is back. I am Don Tony. I am enjoying a little bit of coffee here to answer your questions. I want to thank you as always. And one thing I want to let everybody know, sorry if we don't have as much of a visual this episode as we do in the past. You know, we would post things like this in the past. Hey, you know, nice little graphic. We asked a question. The problem is that quite a few of you out there, and look, I don't mind it, but quite a few of you out there seem to type a little bit too much. And yeah, when I condense questions down, some people get angry with it. If I, well, you know, that's what happened. So anyway, I want to get right into this, and I want to thank you as always for your questions. You know, when we do these periodically, we will always put a thread up in a community section on YouTube, and we will also keep the email address open, dontony@dontony.com. And I want to thank everybody who sent a lot of input questions with regards to the return in some capacity of the Don Tony and Kevin Castle show. You know, I appreciate all of the feedback. I know Kev does as well. And all I'm going to say right now is we'll see where it goes. I know not everybody out there is thrilled that the episodes are audio only and they will only be found on the audio platform pretty much everywhere except for YouTube. First of all, we have music intros being made and we get hit with copyright issues. Plus, not only that, you got to understand something. You know, our time as we get older gets more and more difficult to manage out. And you really got to maximize the time that you do use. And one thing I want to make clear, you know, this is, we don't do these shows as a money grab. I mean, obviously, it's a second job for all of us, no question. But what you got to understand, especially with pre-recorded shows, is that, you know, as far as YouTube, and I know a lot of newer podcasters find this unfortunate reality almost immediately, but there is literally no money to be made on YouTube unless you have crazy ass views. And if you haven't figured it out, that's why 95% of YouTube podcasters in the wrestling world clickbait. They will clickbait, they will put titles up, they will put subjects, they will put thumbnails of topics that they know are 100% not true. And believe me, we have WrestleMania coming up. And all of this fake controversy about Charlotte and Rhea going to main event night one because of political reasons, it's lie. It's a lie. I mean, it's not about gender. It's about what's hottest. You know, and I talked about this repeatedly. You look at the NXT stuff. You know, who is Grayson Waller going to fight at Stand and Deliver? And it was obvious it was Johnny Gargano. But up until the day that the reveal was made, people are clickbaiting that it's going to be Waller versus Shawn Michaels. It's the only way you're going to make money, outside of Super Chats, obviously, and Super Thanks. But if you don't do a live episode, you know, you'll be lucky if you made $3 to $5 here. So, you know, obviously, if you're going to do this and need to have a revenue stream, because a lot of the expenses behind the scenes, they add up, you obviously have to do it the right way. So, you know, I know not everybody is thrilled that the DTKC show is pretty much on an audio-only platform, but, you know, what little that is made, you know, obviously we got to do everything the right way. You're not going to please everyone 100% of the time. And plus also, if you haven't figured it out, it's pretty obvious. You know, I have switched shows on YouTube that are live to certain days and certain time slots. And the weird phenomenon is that after maybe a couple of months or even weeks of having some pretty successful live audiences, you see other people moving their shows to the same exact day, the same exact time. And, you know, look, they have every right to do what they do, and it's your choice what you want to tune into live or not. But you best damn believe after doing this almost 27 years that I'm going to deal with any political bullshit. And not only that, you know, if I'm going to do this, I'm going to have my the enjoyment level at the highest possible. And as far as covering expenses, you got to do things wisely. So, you know, there are obviously some little changes here and there, but in the end, you know, the content ain't going anywhere. And that's the most important thing. Lance Maula. You know, I've been talking a lot about WWE and the third hour of Raw really having just crap numbers compared to hour one and two. And let's also be honest, getting 1.3 million, 1.5 million, 1.6 million for a third hour of Raw is still a great number to get on cable between 10 and 11 p.m. But when you realize that 400,000, 500,000, 600,000, 700,000 viewers at its, you know, utmost maximum leave WWE Raw after, you know, by hour two or beginning of hour three, you know, that's a big deal. You know, especially when you pitch advertising revenue. And yes, if you haven't figured it out, that's why some ads only happen on hour three, because hour three's cost is cheaper than hour one and hour two. But he pointed out to me a couple of primetime non-wrestling shows that go 3 hours, and third hour notoriously is lower. And I absolutely agree. I'm not saying that any show out there that is 3 hours is going to keep their third hour. Maybe playoffs in sports, you know, or some major event that rarely ever happens. Yeah, you might keep your viewership. All I'm saying is that for WWE to lose 500,000, 600,000 viewers, even if you want to get conservative, say 400,000 to 500,000 viewers by hour three, you know, how do you combat that? How do you offset it? Either you accept it as it is, you know, and I personally think that they will go to 2 hours. I think by 2024, Raw could go to 2 hours. I really do. I mean, if money is still made, yes, they will do the third hour. But I personally also think there is some burnout involved. I think being forced to, that's why I think so many people enjoy SmackDown more. And it's not because they're on Fox. It's not because it's Friday primetime. I think it's more that you are forced to get all your content in 2 hours. And when you have that third hour, you can, you know, relax a little bit and maybe put some, you know, not so spectacular stuff on television. But hey, you know, it is what it is. But me personally, as much as I'm a wrestling fan, I would prefer to have Raw 2 hours. Absolutely. I think 10 o'clock, even if you start at 9 p.m., which they wouldn't do, obviously. But even if they started at 9 p.m., I would be fine with it. 2 hours. Give me 2 hours of Raw. Nero Fay, thank you. He gave me a lot of feedback as far as DTKC and as far as some Forbidden Door episodes. He brought up Greg Morgan at Good Mic Work and Stevie Ray and a few others. Hey, great ideas. Absolutely. Greg Morgan's good people, man. I know a lot of people bring up BC Amplified, good people as well. You know, it's just when you think of Forbidden Door, I want it to be like when two people get together to have a discussion that you wouldn't expect. Greg Morgan, BC Amplified, I think it's more people, it's like a fantasy collaboration for some. And I'm not saying no to any of that, but there's obviously some other names that I think people would like to see that never would think would get together and do a collab. And look what happened with Kev. We did one Forbidden Door, and it look what it opened up the door to. You know, back to doing, you know, some shows. You know, we don't know what the schedule is going to be. Right now, you know, we're definitely going to spend some time with WrestleMania pre and post, and then we see where it goes from here, you know. But, you know, Forbidden Doors, I want each one to be special. The one I did with Jason Solomon, the JD from New York, Joe Cronin, Misha Montana, each one of them stands out for different reasons. And I don't want to just have people on simply to have people on. You know, I never had like special guests on the shows, maybe once or twice in 27 years. But I appreciate the feedback. Thank you. Roderick Howard, could I see the Originals and the Outcast AEW storyline leading to the first ever women's Blood and Guts match sometime in the summer? Yeah, I could see it happen. When you think about Ruby Soho, Willow Nightingale, I know they're on opposite ends now, but they had that, that match where everybody was bleeding their asses off. I think Paige is starting to get back into the swing of things. A lot of people, I think, forget that it's not just physical adaptation, it's also a mental one. And there's enough women out there, and, I think it's possible. Absolutely. Why not? The only thing is, though, is I think fans would prefer to just have a little bit more women's content on a regular basis for AEW and not just throw a Blood and Guts out there and then you go right back to, one novelty match with a couple of backstage promos every Dynamite. And then on Rampage, you get the Jade Cargill squash. You might get another one if you're lucky. Now with Taya Valkyrie in the company, I just don't want it to become Miss Rampage. And I got this weird feeling that over the next couple of weeks, Taya Valkyrie is going to be on, Friday, Rampage. I want to see her get some time on Dynamite as well. You look at the ratings. I mean, you see the difference between Dynamite and Rampage. But, I could see Blood and Guts, sure. And he says the Outcast could be Ruby Soho, Saraya, Toni Storm, Athena, Serena Deeb. I don't know about Serena Deeb, though. Her role in WWE was so long ago, and I know she was a trainer too, not too long ago, but it's possible. As far as Team Originals, Jamie Hayter, Britt Baker, Kara Shida, Thunder Rosa, Chris Statlander, Jay Cargill, if Statlander's not cleared. Thunder Rosa, though, I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen there. She's got a serious back issue, and, I don't know the progression of her, rehabilitation. But she's also got a lot of issues with Britt Baker. And, I want to see that buried. And not journalists who really gush over AEW trying to put a narrative out there. It's a lot deeper. And the only reason why I haven't put Thunder Rosa is Public Enemy number 5 on my thumbnails. First of all, I think she looked kind of funny with the CM Punk, her head photoshopped on a CM Punk body. I think that would cause a little controversy. But not only that, she's still out with the injury. Let's get her back in the ring. Then we could talk. But there's no question that there are people who matter within AEW that do not like Thunder Rosa. Should Tony Khan consider bringing in the Garcia twins, formerly the Bellas? I honestly think it would be a mistake. I think their egos are way too big. And you got Renee Paquette doing all the interview segments. The Garcia twins, the Bellas, they're really not going to be able to return to the ring like they used to. If you want to bring them in for one spot or referee or guest this, okay. But, do I want to see them on AEW on a regular basis? No. There's a lot of baggage that comes with that. I mean, Brie is married to Bryan Danielson. So, for them, it would be cool husband and wife work together. Look at Moxley and Renee. But I don't want to see them in there. And you heard certain wrestlers that are linked to certain pay-per-views due to the history, like Shawn Michaels, Mr. WrestleMania, Randy Orton, Mr. Survivor Series. Brock and Brett, Mr. SummerSlam. I never thought of Brock as Mr. SummerSlam. I don't even think I've ever really thought about John Cena as Mr. Royal Rumble. But any WCW stars I would like to link to pay-per-views? Yeah. I think Ric Flair, absolutely, with Starrcade. Great American Bash, you got to understand something. WCW went out of business in 2001. We're in 2023. It's very hard to look back, unless you look at match results. And over the last 20 years, the Great American Bash that WWE has put out periodically is nowhere near what it used to be. You'd want to put Dusty in something, Sting in something. But when you realize that the WCW, the original WCW, has been out of business 22 years, you go back and you look at, these events, you know, do you really associate Sting with Halloween Havoc or Super Brawl? It's, you don't. You don't. I think out of any, I would only go with Ric Flair and Starrcade. That's the only person that I would say in hindsight. David R. He's been listening to me since he discovered my show around 2010. Loves the shows. Thank you. He's been a Patreon for a month or two, but he's permanently out of work. Had to cut back. Do not apologize, my friend. You know, we're not going anywhere. And, you know, I never want anyone to feel like they have to pay for something that we do. Obviously, with our Patreon, we want to give everybody a little bit extra for what they do, just like I do with YouTube channel members. You know, but I also, you know, tell people out there, you know, we keep the membership at $5, you know, as far as the minimum. And you realize even on Patreon, it's 8 free Patreon exclusive shows a month. 8, not 1, 8. Ad-free episodes of everything that I do. And once a month, we do contests. And that's just to summarize it. And you'd be surprised how many people don't think that's worth $5. Even, you know, on the YouTube side, you know, we try to give a little bit extra, even with the contest for people who spend $5. And, you know, it is what it is. I mean, I understand now with everybody having a Patreon, you got to rotate, you got to pick and choose. And never, that goes to anyone out there, never feel like you have to sign up. But I want people to also understand, you know, our Patreon is 1/10 of what it used to be as far as number of people. It is this big. And no, we're not looking to shut it down or anything like that. But, you know, people need to understand that, you know, it's this big, you know, you have to keep it a little bit in perspective, you know. We just want everybody to feel like when you come that you get your money's worth and you get a lot of bonus content. But he said he still occasionally listens to Soup. At the end of the last show, Anthony Thomas plugged the DTKC reunion show and said download it to support Kev. He also said when they were talking about Lanny Poffo, he received an autographed photo with an unaddressed envelope and was wondering if it was me. To be honest with you, I'm not saying if what I do and what I don't do. You know, I will say that I've done little things here and there for some out there without them even knowing that I did it. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to take credit for something and I'm not going to say that I didn't. Anything that I do that I don't want somebody to know about, or I don't go out of my way to let them know about, you know, that's my deal. But, you know, keep supporting the shows you support. And he says, if he comes into unexpected money, he will send a generous PayPal to me. That always sounds good, but hey man, you know, just keep, you know, doing what you do and, keep the priorities straight and never feel guilty that you can't do something financially for us. Believe me, there's a bigger picture here. At the end of the day, we want everybody to have a good time. And it's not about, you know, trying to squeeze anything we can out of everyone. I will never, ever do that. Never did, never will. You know, I just, people also need to understand that, especially at my age and a lot of responsibilities and being married, you know, I have to really budget my time and make sure that, you know, my father used to say to me when I was younger, when I used to play video games, I'm talking in my teens, 20s, my father used to come home from work and I'd be playing ColecoVision or Nintendo or Sega Genesis. And I'll never forget it. My father used to say to me, you're sitting at home playing this game for hours. You could be making money right now. Why are you sitting on your ass playing a video game for 5 hours? You could be working in the store making money. And, you know, in hindsight, a lot of that was true, you know, but at the same time, though, you know, you can't, no one that has responsibilities, married, bills, you know, living in your own place is going to turn around and spend 20, 30, 40, 50 hours doing shows to make $20. You know, unless you're Tony Khan or somebody that's a millionaire or a billionaire. You know, that's why it was so hard for me to, like, stop the YouTube watch parties. But, you know, it sucks that I had to leave another network because, you know, when you realize what they're offering you, you know, can't even fill up your gas tank, you're like, you know, I can't spend it. And it gets difficult because, you know, people that support what I do are affected by it. That's why going forward, I have to be very, very careful how I tread water. I don't want to keep changing things or removing things or switching things. But understand that there's a lot of people, especially on YouTube, that are in the wrestling podcasting world, and they've put it all on the table. That is their livelihood. You take away YouTube, they have nothing. Zero. They don't work outside of what they do at wrestling. And I totally get it. Cool. If that's what you want to do, absolutely. There's a lot of risk with that as well. And, you know, me, you know, I'm not going to turn around and, you know, you know, suffer and build myself into bankruptcy, you know, just so I could continue my streak. It's the longest running podcaster in the history of pro wrestling. It may be podcasting in general. There are people out there that think that I am one of the original podcasters in 03, taking my hotline stuff and putting it online. You know, you look at the Google or go on Wiki about podcasting, and you look at the timeline, and if you think that I'm exaggerating, just go on Wayback Machine and type in my wrestling-news.com website. You'll see webcasts. We called them webcasts at the time. And there are some that are before the date that Wiki says that the first podcast that was ever issued. So, James Campbell, would I agree that the women's tag team division really is not much of a division, but mostly a collection of random women paired together? And at this point, do I feel it would be more beneficial to have a floating or dual brand women's secondary singles workhorse titles to bring up ladies like Raquel Rodriguez, Shayna Baszler, and others? A lot of the tag teams are makeshift, but I also think back 20 years ago, and a lot of tag teams were makeshift as well. Maybe not as extreme. Booker T and Goldust comes to mind. Two random guys put together, and look what happened. Billy Gunn and the Road Dogg, two, you know, guys that were pretty much in purgatory as far as WWE and stuck in the mud, and look what happened. You know, not everybody that is a tag team. I think Ronda and Shayna Baszler is a great tag team. There are a few that really fit. I think Alexa Bliss and Liv Morgan, if WWE ever decided to give them a year together, I think they actually could run with it big time. As far as a secondary title, you got two already. You got the Raw Women's Champion and SmackDown Women's Champion. You know, you don't want to give titles just so everybody can have a title. If Raquel Rodriguez is going to become a Women's Champion, let her be the Raw or SmackDown Women's Champion. I don't want a secondary title created just so Liv could have it, or Raquel could have it, or someone else could have it. Plus, you got tag team titles. So, I personally think if Roxanne Perez comes to the main roster, we may end up getting Roxanne Raquel as a tag team. I actually think that actually, I envision it. I close my eyes. Now we got Stand and Deliver coming up. And, you know, we'll see what happens with that. You know, the rumor is that she will be put back in this ladder match. And it's not a guarantee that she's going to win that title. You know, or retain it, I guess you could say, because technically she was stripped. But if they put her back in a match, she'll still have the title. There's not a guarantee that she's going to keep her belt at Stand and Deliver. And if she doesn't, then I think she might be on the fast track on the main roster. And I think Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez would be a great tag team. I don't know what you call them. Plus, Chelsea Green and Carmella. Shit, the first day that Chelsea Green made a return and did that character, I said, she reminds me of Carmella. Remember that? And I always thought, Carmella, why do I look pink? I look like a newborn's ass. I'm looking at the video. I look pink. I don't know. Maybe because I'm doing this in daytime. JS, if a draft is happening in May, what would be some key moves I'd make to Raw, to SmackDown, or vice versa? Well, the first move that I've been saying for quite some time now is, you don't even need a draft for it. Rhea Ripley's got to be Charlotte at WrestleMania. She becomes SmackDown star. I've brought it up several times. Judgment Day might have an interesting dilemma. If Rhea Ripley becomes SmackDown Women's Champion, Damian Priest, Finn Balor, and Dominic Mysterio are Raw stars. Kev and I had this conversation on Forbidden Door a couple of weeks ago. And I personally think that you know, the best way to put it is, you know, you want wrestlers that are stuck in the mud to maybe get a new crop of opponents. And it doesn't necessarily mean, when I say stuck in the mud, I don't necessarily mean that, you know, two people, as far as a tag team or a single star, who might not have had a good push or good run. Some people think Hit Row, Karrion Kross, and others. Some people feel upon their return, they have not had very memorable of a run. I kind of disagree with Kross. You know, what he did with Drew was pretty good, and I think that the fans are slowly starting to adapt, you know, get adjusted to him. But maybe putting him on Raw would be okay. But I also feel that you could turn around and take someone who has gone through all the opponents and move them to Raw or SmackDown, and it gives them a new, fresh set of people to face. You know, there's nobody individual that comes to mind. I will say that maybe Ronda Rousey and Shayna Baszler might be better suited for Raw for that third hour. Like, you know, when you have only 2 hours on SmackDown, you want to maximize that time. You know what I mean? So, you know, there are some stars that are stuck. Lacey Evans, yeah, she seems to not be fitting all that well on SmackDown. With Raw being in a third hour, maybe Raw is better. But I think you do that with anybody that don't seem to be clicking, or someone that has already gone through a lot of wrestlers that are on that brand. Joseph Pajaka, if I were to introduce someone to wrestling, what classic match would I tell them to watch? You know, it's funny because it's amazing that matches that I still watch once in a while are now considered classics. Yeah, I think you have to introduce someone either balls out or you got to, you know, tread lightly. I personally think if I were to introduce someone to wrestling, I think you got to focus more on the entertainment aspect of it, good crowd reaction, telling a story. I think all of that together, believe it or not, two matches that I would choose is Austin Hart, WrestleMania 13, and The Rock versus Hogan at WrestleMania. Even though The Rock versus Hulk Hogan didn't, like, knock it out of the park with wrestling moves, listen to the commentary, listen to the crowd, look at their reactions, look at everything. I mean, you can't help but to have fun. Even if, you know, people think, oh, you got to show them Steamboat Savage. You know, for people who are knowledgeable wrestling fans, yeah, that's a nice go-to. But as far as introducing someone, listen, when I used to introduce people to ECW, the match that I always introduced them to was Born to Be Wired, Terry Funk versus Sabu. And people would be like, either they were like mesmerized by it or they thought it was fucking awful. I would also do November to Remember 1995, Cactus Jack and Raven versus Terry Funk and Tommy Dreamer. One of my favorite matches of all time. Those would be two matches if I introduced someone to ECW back then. Now, you know, it's much different, but I think you got to tread lightly, let people understand the entertainment aspect of it. You know, I think doing crazy acrobatic stuff, you know, you have to be a wrestling fan to appreciate it even a little bit more. You know, Maggie Lusk, my opinion on what Roman does after he loses the titles, surely they can't have him fade to black. Well, I've been saying this for a while. The tsunami is coming. The Usos will drop the titles, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I also believe Roman Reigns drops the belts to Cody Rhodes. The bloodline in 1 week will go from having all the gold to nothing. I think Roman will have to take it out on somebody, and then Roman may end up having to have a feud. I think Roman needs a return match against Cody Rhodes. Maybe that happens in Saudi Arabia. That's a big match to have in Saudi Arabia. But I think ultimately Roman Reigns takes a little bit of time off, mental and physical respite. But I think the bloodline, that's why when people say, oh, Roman's going to retain a Mania, we don't know what's going to happen. But, you know, if you're going to do a storyline where the bloodline really are on shaky foundation, everybody's got to lose. You can't have part of the foundation still showing success. That's why I personally don't think Roman Reigns is keeping those titles at Mania. But, you know, I personally think The implosion has to happen. He has to take it with it on people within and then have a rematch with Cody. Then maybe you take a little time off. James Campbell, when Cena started talking about Hart with Theory, do I think that with this match between them, it starts a babyface run for Austin Theory after he shows his grit by winning at Mania and wins the respect of Cena and the fans? No, not yet. Not yet. If it's not broken, they'll fix it. Austin Theory will start getting cheered because people will realize how hard this guy is going for it. You know, fans, listen, when Rhea Ripley beat Charlotte at Mania, you're going to hear a lot of fans cheering for Rhea Ripley. Not necessarily because they don't like Charlotte, but because Rhea Ripley, people see how hard she's putting in the work and how committed she is to doing this right. Fans do acknowledge, you know, hard work. And Austin Theory has a lot of respect for pro wrestling. So those cheers will come. But right now, no, you don't turn him babyface. You know, you just let him keep doing what he's doing and then see him where it goes from here. It's way too soon for something like that. All right, let's get into a bunch of, I have to make these rapid fire. Havili, Brain, Fokupa, Feokahapi. Feokahapi. See, I have to say it a few times because the print is very, very small. If the Mega Powers didn't form, in my opinion, what rematch we would have gotten at WrestleMania 4, Steamboat versus Savage or Hogan versus Andre? If you're forcing me to choose one of the two, I would go with Steamboat Savage. Andre Hogan, even though, you know, Andre still did more, nothing was going to come anywhere close to WrestleMania 3. And there was a lot of, you know, storyline that put drama into it. He was too beat up. I don't think that would have been a good build, in my opinion. Besides the pandemic and egos, when would I like to see an 8-women tag team elimination match between the Four Horsewomen of the MMA, Four Horsewomen of the WWE? Well, you've asked me this question before, and I've answered it. You can't do that without Sasha and Bayley back in the company. And honestly, I think we've already passed that. Marina Shafir, unfortunately, you know, it's not panned out as good as it should. I think that bloom is off the rose. I think, you know, if people want to see the Four Horsewomen versus the Four Horsewomen, let them create it in a video game. I have no desire in seeing that. And I think the majority of fans, you know, I don't think it's that big of a deal anymore. Favorite version of the Nation of Domination, Farouk, Savio, Crush, D'Lo, and PG-13. Farouk, D'Lo, and Ahmed Johnson. Farouk, D'Lo, Kama, The Rock, and Mark Henry. Or The Rock, Owen Hart, Mark Henry, D'Lo, and The Godfather. Number three, Farouk, D'Lo, Kama, The Rock, and Mark Henry. I know Owen Hart, you know, we all love him. And, you know, it's a shame he was taken from his way too soon. I just never got into him in a Nation of Domination. He's asked this before, but not the right way. If CM Punk didn't leave and Daniel Bryan wasn't injured, would that could be the main event or co-main event for SummerSlam 14? What would have been the main event or co-main event of SummerSlam 14? Bryan versus Lesnar, Punk versus Triple H, Bella and Bryan versus Stephanie and Triple H, Punk and AJ Lee versus Triple H and Stephanie. I don't think any of them. I think Brock Lesnar and Daniel Bryan would have been the most intriguing, but I say none. Definitely no mixed tag. No, not at all. What match results at WrestleMania 34 would I change? Nakamura losing to AJ Styles, Charlotte beating Asuka, Brock Lesnar beating Roman. Probably, you know what? I wouldn't change. If you're forcing me to change one, Brock beating Roman. Maybe Brock beat Roman. I know it wouldn't have helped Roman in any way, but Nakamura and AJ, you know, I don't think that was a big deal. And, you know, Asuka, they needed to start bringing her back down a little bit. So I remember people really pissed off at me for, you know, my prediction at that time, but that's probably what I'd go with. Another question you asked before, but not the right way. What main event should have been a triple threat at Mania? 10, 13 with Shawn and Brett, 15, 29, or 31 with Daniel Bryan. I think I've answered this one before. I personally think WrestleMania 31 with Daniel Bryan would have been, you know, fine as a triple threat. I think it would probably have given a more suspension of disbelief that he had no shot of winning. Bret and Shawn Michaels, no. One-on-one, you don't change any of that. All right, thank you for those. Dominic McClim, my thoughts on a Silicon Valley bank collapse. Honestly, it doesn't surprise me. This economy is doing pretty awful right now. I've talked about it many times on Sundays especially and on Patreon. You know, you realize, like I've said it before, you think I'm making it up. I'll give you the name of the place. Go look it up. Food is incredible. La Villa. It's a pizzeria in Howard Beach, Queens. La Villa. Go on their website and just type in that you want a, you know, they make good salads there. Just go on the menu and select it with grilled chicken. You going to pay $30 for a salad? $30 for a salad with grilled chicken. No, I'm not. I used to go to the diner with my wife once a week. We've gone once in the last 3 months. Just on sodas alone, I'm not paying $5 for a glass of seltzer or soda with tons of ice in it. Yes, I could ask for it without ice, but who wants to drink diner, you know, drinks without ice? Just the prices are just astronomical. And you see what's going on in the banking world, and something's got to change, man. Shit is collapsing in a lot of ways. I just try to look at the bright side. I don't let it get to me. But yeah, I mean, I think this was kind of predictable. I mean, you think of some of the bank collapses over the years, you know, there is a parallel with, you know, problems with the economy. You know, that's why, you know, it's going to be really interesting to see what happens with Trump. I think he does get indicted because I live in New York and I see it firsthand. They want to be in the history books to try to do everything that's possible to get him from running for president. And me, I don't pay attention. I mean, I pay attention to politics, but I don't talk about it anymore. You know, when people, I still see once in a while people, you know, say to me, DT, I used to tune into your show every week, but when you started talking politics over and over again, I stopped tuning in. And they were right. Looking back, I couldn't even listen to that shit. So I don't talk about politics unless specifically asked about something. But I think they're going to do everything possible to try to prevent Trump from running in 2024. You just look at gas prices being $2. And you look at, you know, items half the price of what it is now. Listen, I know attitude-wise, personality-wise, he was not a good person. How he was able to get that kind of financial results, you know what I mean? It's at the end of the day, you know, I've always asked this question. Do you want to work for a boss that is just like the really like nicest, easiest person to deal with and you make shit money? Or do you want to work for a boss that might be an asshole, might be very, very rough around the edges, someone that you kind of despise, but you make, you know, you have a comfortable living and you have money in the bank at the end of the day? I kind of choose that, to be honest with you. So, all right, Gary Vaughn. What do I think about these WrestleMania movie spoofs he thought of? Breakfast Club from 85. John Cena as Jock. Chad Gable as the nerd. Charlotte Flair as the popular girl. Huh. That's not bad. You know, somebody is, I would put Carmella maybe even in there instead. Nikki Cross is the odd girl. That's an interesting one. You know who I would put? I would put Dakota Kai as the odd girl. I think she could actually pull it off as being like the ultimate nerd. But Nikki Cross is a good pick. The troublemaker, Austin Theory, either him or The Miz. Him or The Miz. You know what? I would even put The Miz as the jock. Seriously. John Cena, obvious jock. I would put The Miz as the jock. And the vice principal, JBL. Okay, I think he would be a good one. That's a good list. I like that. That's a good list. You look at, especially with all the legendary movie characters from that movie. You know, the song was great, but when I saw the movie, when it first came out, I didn't think much of it. And then when I watched it, I think a second time, then I started connecting to the characters. It was one of those movies that You may not have appreciated the first time around, but when you watch it again, you kind of like, oh, okay, now I get a lot of it. Crazy Cruiserweight, call me crazy, but he's got a feeling that if WWE is allowed to have legalized gambling in certain states, certain websites who are very anti-WWE will create headlines saying, quote, WWE reportedly changed the outcome of a certain match once they saw the money line changing. WWE is actively trying to make wrestling fans lose money. That's the clickbait draw. That's not Cruiserweight. He's saying that websites would post that. Yeah, I agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. You know, understand, and I brought this up before, and I know you know what I'm talking about. You know, when people reported that Saudi Arabia bought WWE, that should have been an investigation. That directly affects the stock market. And I guarantee you, some people out there sold their stock or maybe bought the stock based on that reporting. And when you influence the stock market like that, there's got to be some, they needed to have an investigation, even if nobody should have gotten in trouble. You set the tone that, no, you can't just say whatever the fuck you want just so people could click on your profile or tune into your podcast or read your blog. There's got to be more than that. And yes, I could absolutely picture, you know, people reporting that this changed. Look at how many people reported that Sami Zayn was going to be in the Royal Rumble match. Las Vegas had betting. Do you realize how many people bet on Sami Zayn winning the Royal Rumble? I mean, I know I went on my show and I said, guys, gals, there ain't no fucking way he's in that Royal Rumble match. It makes no sense. He didn't turn on the bloodline, or the bloodline didn't turn on him yet. And people still went with it knowing that it was a lie, but it got them hits and views. At some point, when you start involving real money, there's got to be some investigation somewhere. The problem is, right now, who investigates it? Maybe the securities exchange with the Saudi Arabia WWE stuff? You know, yeah, if they legalize gambling, oh, I could see that. I don't think it's going to happen. I really don't. You know, the idea that the wrestlers don't know the outcome until the day of the show, WrestleMania, that's ridiculous. Because when you're telling a story for 6 months, you pretty much, you know, when you're playing a role of a character in a movie and you're filming for 6 months, you know, the idea is you should know, like, what the outcome of the movie is. And I think all along, you did Cody Rhodes coming back and doing all these training and cutting all these promos and doing all these storylines, you actually think WWE creative in the back said, yeah, Cody, we'll let you know the night of WrestleMania, you know, if you're going to win or not. It's just, when you think about it, the logic is so ridiculously stupid when people think, and unfortunately people do. If I was athletic and had the required height for a certain sport, out of these six sports, I could pick three. Which would I be an athlete in? Basketball, soccer, lacrosse, horse racing, hockey, or tennis? I used to love playing paddleball. So I would probably choose tennis. I always wanted to play tennis. Just me, I never pictured myself wearing all white, you know, going up and down the court. Horse racing, I wouldn't do. Lacrosse, I wouldn't do. Soccer, I used to enjoy playing soccer. When I was in school, I used to love playing soccer. Basketball, I was just never good with. I probably would choose out of that list soccer, hockey, and tennis. I think hockey would be a lot of fun, man. You just, you're running down, you know, you're icing down the fucking rink, and you just deck someone, you check them, and just see, like, you know, I think I would have loved to play hockey. I think I would have loved to play hockey. But soccer, I actually enjoyed. I actually really enjoyed. I remember in high school one time, I think I might have told this story before, that, you know, I kicked the ball and it hit somebody in the face, broke their nose. I felt awful. But, yeah, I enjoyed soccer back in the day. Stephen Barbie, could this be possible? Mercedes makes a debut on Dynamite. challenges Jamie Hayter at Forbidden Door, then shocks the world at Mania by saving Bayley from a beatdown by Dakota Kai and Sky at Mania. Okay, let's read this again. Mercedes makes a debut on Dynamite to challenge Jamie Hayter at Forbidden Door. Then she shocks the world by showing up at Mania, saving Bayley from a beatdown by Dakota Kai and Io Sky. So, okay, so she makes the challenge now before Mania to set that up. Now everybody knows Mercedes is going to wrestle at Forbidden Door. And then in the meantime, she shows up at WrestleMania and say, wow, that would never happen. That'd be really fucking interesting. Well, that's Mercedes going to be at Forbidden Door. This is Sasha Banks. It would never happen. Personally, I think Sasha Banks will be back. I think she'll be back in 2023. Maybe in time for SummerSlam, maybe in time for Survivor Series. You know, people, you know, understand this. And I know people don't like when I brag a little bit, but, you know, I take pride in being right. You know, and I try to remind people sometimes. You know, there's a lot of people out there that just want to be clickbaited. But I said since day one that the number of matches that Mercedes has with New Japan, you could count on one hand. People are trying to play off that she had this deal, that it's going to be all these appearances, this and that. I mean, at the end of the day, it's going to be on one hand, and then what? And, you know, rumor is Kairi Sane is about to be a, you know, free agent. I think it's actually been announced already. So I think Sasha Banks is back. I think she gets her payday, gets her fill, does the movies, and I think she goes back to WWE before the end of 2023. I don't see her going to AEW. I mean, I could see, you know, Tony Khan spending that kind of money, but I don't know. I don't see Sasha Banks doing that, to be honest with you. I don't. Rye Baker, if they don't split the Undisputed Championship, who are the next three champions? Well, I think they're definitely could end up splitting it. They got to put it back on each brand. But Seth Rollins definitely has earned it. Cody Rhodes, obviously, that's two of the three. Third person, you know, if they're back on respected brands, I could see Gunther. I absolutely could see Gunther as a heavyweight champion. You know, let's see how much longer he keeps the Intercontinental Championship. Gunther has been so good. Like, he's got to have it at least once. I would say at least once. Yeah, I would go with Gunther. That's my wild card. Maybe it doesn't happen until next year, but I see it. Tuxedo Earth, how did I start doing keto? Do I own any plants? And my best current entrance in WWE, male and female? I like Bobby Lashley's entrance. The music, the way he comes up like this, the fireworks, to me, it's not even close. Bobby Lashley. On the women's side, nobody really comes to mind. I'm thinking of the champions. Charlotte Flair's, because it just exudes elegance. You know, I'm not sold completely on the remake of her music. I kind of like the original one, but, you know, this one has a little more drama in it. I still laugh whenever I hear the guy, the queen. I still think of Zelina. Remember? Queen Zelina. Like, whenever I hear the queen during Charlotte's intro now, I think of Zelina. Seriously. I own a money tree. The florist that did my flowers for my wedding gave us a money tree. It hasn't helped us. You know, I actually almost threw it out this week. Not out of spite. It just, you know, it just sits on my windowsill and I'm like, okay, you know, now what? And how did I start doing keto? I just wanted to try something different. You know, I have a lot of pain, a lot of inflammation. And the number one reason why I started doing keto was to try to eliminate some inflammation. And it definitely helped. But, you know, I'm off keto now for about 6.5 months. I've thought about going back on it. I haven't yet. We'll see. You know, keto's not for everyone, and it's not easy It's not easy, especially when you got to check blood sugar and this, this, and that. You want to make sure your body's still making ketones. It's kind of an expensive diet to be on. But I will say, it helped me with inflammation, and I lost weight with it. So if you're thinking about doing it, you know, do a lot of reading. That would be my best advice. Do a lot of reading and a lot of research. Watch some YouTube videos. Watch people who are very well respected in the community. And just learn it. Educate yourself. This way, when you go into it, you know exactly what you got to do and exactly how to, you know, avoid the flu and all this other stuff. And I think you'll do good with it. Michael Gonzalez, which of these Hogan Mania feuds was my favorite? Him versus Andre, him versus Savage, him versus Warrior. Him versus Savage. I love WrestleMania 3. That was a build for a year. And my grandmother being alive during that was very, very intriguing to watch her reaction with it. But the Mega Powers exploding, that and I liked Hogan Warrior. Like, you can't go wrong with any of them. But Hogan Savage, the Mega Powers explode, that was on a different level for me. And plus, Run DMC performed that WrestleMania 5. The WrestleMania rap is still one of my favorite, like, performers to perform at Mania. And I didn't sing America the Beautiful. All right, we got two more questions, and we're out of here. How long are we going? All right, right around an hour. That's what I gun for. George Ford, with WWE going all out this year looking for potential buyers, is it possible that they pulled Bray Wyatt's character because it's too bizarre? Not a good look for their product? No. No. It's not bizarre. It was very creative. It was interactive. People checking QR codes and little Easter eggs. It was fun. It was fun. It's not bizarre. No, I think there's some behind-the-scenes issues. Listen, without getting into a whole bunch of drama, because I don't know the exact... We still don't know why he's not back. And who knows? By the time you see the show, he might be back. But I'll say this. You know, I think the problem is when they re-signed him, and this is the aspect that a lot of people don't pay attention to. Bray Wyatt, when he signed back, his contract was more about skits and like the mental side, not necessarily performing in the ring, but more of a creative outside the ring, you know. And I think the problem is that can only take you so far. And I think once, you know, they did everything with LA Knight, they realized, like, okay, how do we reveal on God? It, like, they dragged it too long. And I don't think they knew even 6 months from then, like, okay, what is our goal here? What is the goal with Uncle Howdy? You know, I remember everyone saying the Wyatt six, there's going to be six people involved, and we knew that wasn't going to happen. Well, people insisted, blocked, guaranteed, and it didn't happen. I think, you know, the idea when they negotiated the contract sounded good, but the execution has not been very good. And now they're stuck with a big problem because now he's got this contract and now they don't know creatively how to keep this going and the fans be into it. Fans want to see him in the ring more than anything. And I don't think that's the kind of deal that he signed. I mean, yes, he's going to perform in the ring, but I think his contract had a lot to do with outside the ring. Okay, Devin M. Do I think and believe that I somewhat said things of this? Okay, do you think and I believe you've somewhat said things of this nature, but do we see WWE doing what they did with Keith Lee, with Cody, winning two belts and then just giving the Universal title up for a tournament? That Cody could say, I want to give others the chances that I never got. Honestly, no, I don't see that. I thought when Keith Lee did that, that was stupid. It wasn't him, obviously. That was WWE creative. You win two championships. To turn around and just give one up because it's the right thing to do, I think that would piss off fans more than anything else. You know, Roman Reigns being the undisputed WWE Universal Champion for all of this time, he had a stranglehold on both belts for someone else to finally break through and beat Roman, just to turn around and say, "Hey, give this belt away for charity." Oh man, I mean, it's like somebody building something and then it's going to do like a charity benefit or something, doing something, building this thing, whatever you want to think of, building it. And then you're finally going to give it up for a contest or a charity or something, and then somebody wins it or and then turns around and says, "Okay, I'm going to break it apart and sell it for parts." You know what I mean? Like, nah, I mean, as much as Cody is a good guy and morally, you know, has a lot of morals, I think people in storyline would call him a moron to win both belts and say, "You know what? Let me give up the Universal title. I don't need it. I'm a champion. I only need one. I don't need I don't like that at all. I don't like that at all." I think people would crap all over that. What are you, stupid? You give up a championship? And then once he finally loses the other title, then you get a lot of people say, "You see, if you wouldn't have given up that other title, you might still have it right now." Nobody in 2023 should be that charitable. Seriously. What I do see happening is Cody will win, just like Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens will win, and they will, more Cody Rhodes. Cody Rhodes, I could picture on the mic saying that I'm a fighting champion. I have two titles. Looks like I'm going to have two matches. Cody Rhodes is going to do double duty. Cody Rhodes is going to wrestle twice on some cards because he has two championships. He's going to defend both championships. And I think ultimately he will lose one of those two championships, and that's how you go back to separate brands. The big question is Cody Rhodes going to remain on Raw or remain on SmackDown? I know what some people are going to say to me, DT, they really don't keep, you know, like, but there is still a roster split. If there wasn't a roster split, there would be no need for two championships. But I will say, like, is Cody Rhodes going to be more on Raw or is he going to be more on SmackDown? And once you determine that, I think you could pretty much figure out that one, whichever title he loses will be on the opposite brand. Like, if you envision Cody Rhodes being on Raw majority of the time, right now it'll probably be on both shows because he's got both titles and it's extra work. But in the end, if you believe that Cody's going to be designated mostly for Raw, then I could see him losing the Universal title to somebody on SmackDown. That could be Gunther. If you think Cody Rhodes ultimately will remain on SmackDown, especially if Roman Reigns takes some time off, and he's going to be on SmackDown or identified more in SmackDown than Raw, then I could see him losing the WWE Championship. Maybe that's the Seth Rollins. I know what some people could say, "Oh, we've seen Seth Rollins versus Cody already." And yes, I know we have, but we haven't seen Seth Rollins defeat Cody Rhodes. Plus, this is a much different Seth Rollins than we had a year ago. So I hope you enjoyed this Q&A. I am Don Tony. I hope everyone has a wonderful rest of your, I guess you could say, month. I don't know exactly what date this is going to be posted online. My gut feeling is the week of WrestleMania, but I'll probably put it online on a day that we don't have any shows going up online. But definitely post your feedback. You know, what do you think about some of the comments that I made about certain topics? Do you agree, disagree? Do you have any ideas that you think would be better than mine? Speak up. Very much appreciated. Always welcomed. And until the next Q&A, I am Don Tony, bidding you farewell. Be well, everybody. Stay safe and much love.
As far back as I can remember, I always wanted to be a podcaster. For me to live any other way was nuts. To me, those goody-good people who work shitty jobs for bum paychecks and took the subway to work every day and worried about their bills were dead. I mean, they were suckers. They had no balls. If I wanted something, I just took it. I ran everything. I paid the bills. I paid the host. I even paid the masked maniac. Everybody had their hands out. Everything was for the taking. We always called each other good fellas. You would always hear from somebody, "You're gonna like Don Tony. He's all right. He's a good fella. He's one of us." But if you're part of my crew, nobody ever tells you they're gonna get rid of you. Doesn't happen that way. There weren't any arguments or curses like in the movies. See, your haters come with smiles. They come as your friends, the people who've claimed they care the most for your life. And now that's all over. And that's the best part. Today everything is different. There's lots of action. I don't have to wait around for everything like everyone else. Oh, I didn't get the vaccine? Fuck you, vaccine me. Oh, your delivery guy has COVID? Fuck you, feed me. Right after I moved here, I ordered egg noodles and ketchup, and I got spaghetti with meat sauce. I'm no longer an average nobody, while they get to live the rest of their lives like a bunch of schnooks.